In a quiet Minnesota town sits a house that doesn't rest when the lights go out. Its walls have absorbed more than a century of whispers of families, funerals, and fear. Objects move, voices echo from empty rooms, and shadows gather where no one stands. For paranormal investigator Jill Shelley, the Boyd House isn't just another haunted location. It's a place that calls her back again and again. Tonight, we step across the threshold and into one of Minnesota's most active and unusual homes. This is The Haunting of the Boyd House, and you're listening to the Paranormal 360 with me, Dave Schrader. Joining me now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Jill Shelley. Jill, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Well, hello, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Look, I want to showcase my home state, and you and I have met on a few occasions at different conferences. And it's like when you live in Orlando, you just don't go to Disneyland. And I don't know why I haven't made it to the Boyd House. I've got to make that a priority, at least, if not by the end of this year, by the beginning part of 2026, and come out there. But I wanted to showcase this and talk a little bit about your location, the hauntings, the history, and whatnot. What brought you to the Boyd House to begin with?
Well, I myself have been an investigator since 2010. And so traveling to well-known haunted locations kind of gave me the idea of having my own place. 2018, financially, I was able to afford to actually purchase the Boyd House. I had actually started looking at other locations. We looked at a few, like some churches. We looked at different houses. But when I came across the Boyd House, I was kind of like, man, this is the house. This is the one.
Really? Like, so it spoke to you from the minute you found it.
Yeah, it did. I really had a good feel about it. I was almost kind of obsessed thinking about it, you know, once I started looking at it. And then we went out there for our pre-purchase. So our realtor knew I was looking for a haunted location. So she knew we were going to do like investigating.
Okay. And
we did get some response with a REM pod within about 15 minutes. We did hear on a spirit box a woman come through that says, "Who are you?" Which kind of made sense because nobody had lived there for a year at that point. So it's kind of like, you know, who is this lady? Why is she talking to us? We don't know who she is. So, you know, I checked with a medium that I really trusted in. And she told me a lot of things that came true after I had purchased the home. But then I also reached out to former people who lived there and they were a little hesitant to talk about things. But they did say that they would hear some old time music playing. Some of their children would see like a man figure sometimes. So just a lot of people, even after I purchased it, came forward and told me that when they were friends with particular families that lived there, they would have experience when they slept over as children, you know, such as being touched. So it does have quite the history of a lot of paranormal activity that goes along with the house. So yeah, I went forward and purchased it and then opened it up for anyone really. But mainly for paranormal investigators to come in and investigate the home.
Now, you were looking for an interesting location. Did you know that the Boyd House was haunted when you entered it? Or did you just walk in and you could feel the presence?
It was all just kind of gut instinct. I wouldn't say that I'm a medium, but I feel like kind of one of the things I have for myself as an investigator is that feel, you know, that I kind of know something's there, something's happening. This is where the spirits are. I can't communicate with them, mentally, like some of the mediums and things like that. Do I need scientific equipment for that? But I do have that feel of when they're there. So it was just kind of, I was just really drawn to the place.
I love the fact that you, when you open up, you're like, I became obsessed. I hear that so often when people go out and they find a location and they get this initial vibe and suddenly they just, I've got to possess this place. I need to own it. And possess might be a good word as well, right? When you took over ownership of the Boyd House, were you shocked by the type of activity that was taking place there? Did it ever get to the point where you were like, uh-oh, what did I do?
Well, you know, the first night that I actually stayed there was my first experience that I had with something. All night, my husband was actually feeling like he had that cobwebby feeling all over him or bugs crawling on him. And he's not into paranormal or ghosts. He's just here to support me. But I was walking through the hallway where there's a basement door there. And as I walked by, I heard this loud bam, 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 like three really loud knocks, which of course I jumped like 10 feet because I was not expecting that to happen. And then I tried to debunk it, like, okay, you know, because it does go down to the basement. Was there a draft? Was there something that would have caused that? But for the make that really bam, bam, bam shot, you had to knock it. Like, even if it were to rattle from wind, which there was no wind current or anything like that, it would have not been as loud as it was. So that's what I had that first night. But then after going with that, it got really, really quiet. Like, nothing was really happening. I'm like, oh boy, you know, did I make a mistake? Like, maybe I was wrong. Like, maybe this house isn't. So there was one particular night that I was sitting in what is the boys' room. And we had like a little REM bear. He doesn't make noise, but he does blank. He's like an EMF kind of thing. And I just had him kind of sitting there and I was talking to the ghost and I just said, look, kids, if you're here, like, you got to make a sign. Like, I'll give you gifts. People come give you gifts. People come talk to you. Like, this is, you know, it's all okay. So, and then I left and then that bear went on and off all night for like 3 or 4 hours. So I was like, oh, yay, they figured it out. So now they really like to interact with people.
So you believe that you have adult and children spirits that reside there at the Boyd House?
Definitely, yes. We have different encounters, you know, with different, you know, voices from men, women. We have children encounters, you know, kids giggling, kids laughing. So yeah, just as far as the deaths in the house, as far as children go, we only have two. One was an infant, and then one, he was about 2 years old when he choked to death in the house. Mm. So those are the confirmed as far as children death goes. But I think with what a lot of things that we do at the Boyd House, as far as doing, you know, different, you know, paranormal activity, you know, the equipment that we use and such, I think we have created some sort of portal where different things have come in. But I also feel that we have these children that are there that I have always felt that were more like between the ages of 8 and 12, right in there, a boy and a girl. And I don't know why they're there, but I've had interaction with both of them. And I've also been told by a medium that she doesn't know why they're there either, but they just seem to really like the house and that's why they stay.
Do you ever have a concern that what you're encountering isn't what it appears to be, that maybe they're not children, they're something darker, more nefarious, just trying to trick you?
I personally have not had that experience as far as any negativity. I know we've had a few people who have had some negativity. They may even say demonic, but then again, that's in the perception of the paranormal investigator of that time. But me personally, I feel like whatever I'm talking to, whether it's one of the men, the women, the children, I feel like 100% that is who we've been communicating with.
All right. Jill Shelley is our guest for this hour. We're talking about haunted Minnesota right here in our own backyard, the Boyd House. And we do have a link for the Boyd House on today's program guide so that you can find it and follow along. Next hour, Kelly Fries, owner of the haunted Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota, joins us to discuss yet another chilling example of a haunting that takes place right here in our great state. So you can check it out for yourself. And if you haven't heard of the Boyd House, the Palmer House, or all the other great haunted locations in and around the Twin Cities area, make sure that you educate yourself, not only by listening to programs like this, but by checking out all the great sites that exist throughout the interwebs. We'll be back with more and more Jill Shelley and more of the Boyd House right after this. It's October. The air is crisp. The wind is blowing. The trees are moving. And if you're quiet and just listen, you might hear whispers coming from another room where there's no one there. That's what happens at the Boyd House. That's just some of the stuff that happens at the Boyd House. Our guest tonight, Jill Shelley, is the proprietor of the Boyd House. She has made it available for people to come and investigate and experience it themselves. Now, what if, Jill, what if there are looky-loos, people that are interested in going inside a haunted house, but they don't really want to investigate because that's creepy, but they'd like to come in and just see it and experience it and then get the hell out? Are you open for tours so they can just come in and get a little taste and then get out of there?
No, right. Currently, right now, we more cater to the overnight investigators or people who just want to spend the night. We are kicking around doing some sort of day type a situation. But what we do provide for people who aren't part of, people who have equipment, we do have some real basic tools there at the house for people to use, such as like a voice recorder, K2 meter. We have the cat balls. We have a spirit box available, some dowsing rods.
Now, hold on. Hold on 1 second, Jill, because there are some listeners who are simply tuning in because they like a good ghost story and weird stuff. And when you say cat balls, they're automatically going to go, did she say she has cat balls? Explain to people what the cat balls are and how they're utilized during a ghost hunt.
Sure. So they are, they, well, I don't know if they're originally, but I do know them for to be a cat toy. So when you turn them on, they only start blinking by movement or touch. So it's kind of carried over into the paranormal community where we use that as a tool for ghosts to communicate with us.
Right. And listen, having been all over the United States and around the world, everybody has adopted these little toys to use on an investigation because, again, you push the button, they'll flicker, blink, and light up, and then they stop. And they won't start again unless something moves them, touches them, sets them off. And I have been in places where I have watched them round robin around the room start lighting up. It's really kind of cool and compelling to watch happen. However, you know, I mean, there are things like vibrations. If a truck drives by, you have to be cognizant of that, right? But so you've had a lot of different experience with a lot of different equipment and tools. When people come there to do an investigation, should they expect to be able to see things?
Well, you know, it's a given day if the spirits have enough energy or if they choose to interact with you at all, or show themselves. So several people have seen shadow figures. A couple people have seen a male figure. My husband himself has actually seen a female standing on the stairwell. He was coming in through the front door, and that was during the day. And he was just carrying a bunch of stuff, and he looked up and he saw this woman on the stairwell. And he, for a second, thought it was me because she had the similar length hair, same color. And then he looked away, and then he looked back up, and then she was gone. And then he realized that I wasn't even upstairs. So as a
non-believer and a guy who's not really into the paranormal, how much of a paradigm shift was that for your husband?
Yeah, you know what? He said he had another experience that was more profound, he said, than actually seeing, which I was crazy because all my years I've only seen a shadow figure. I've never actually seen a full-blown apparition. So I was a little jealous there. but he actually had an experience. When we stay there, he's more comfortable sleeping downstairs. So he was sleeping in the piano room where one of the spirits that we believe is still there, Minnie Eckert, she passed away. And also her husband, Fred Eckert, passed away in that home as well, in that room. But he woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning to this profound smell or perfume. Like he woke up, it was so heavy that it just took him out of a dead sleep. He kind of got up, he started sniffing around because we had guests the night before that were women. And he thought, well, maybe their perfume's lingering on the blanket or, you know, just sniff, sniff, sniff. Couldn't find it. Went back to bed. About a half hour later, happened again. So, yeah, he said that was more profound than actually seeing an actual spirit because he could really feel the presence of a woman around.
Wait a minute. So this guy gets to see a full apparition. You've only got to see a fleeting shadow. And to him, he was more impressed by the smell of perfume appearing and disappearing.
I know. Crazy. Right?
You got to get him out of the house a little more often, Jill, obviously. How many deaths do we know are actually associated with this location?
We have a total of 5 for sure that we have documented. Hmm. So the 2 children, both the Fred and Minnie Eckert, and then we have a lady in the 70s who also passed away of a heart attack. I have never had any, her name was Anna, but I have never had any confirmation that it is for sure her. Mm-hmm. But we've had a lot of confirmation definitely for Fred because we get EVPs that Fred's here, Fred's coming. You know, I'm Fred, you know, we get a lot of comments like that. So he's got a pretty pronounced history at the house, you know, being as also they were very well-known members of the community that he owned a really good, more high-end grocery store. They sold, you know, fine furs, shoes, things like that. He was a justice of the peace on the fire department. He helped build a Lutheran church. So very, very well-known member of the community. So I think that is one reason why he definitely stays around. And then I'm assuming his wife Minnie's there. I haven't confirmed her, but I do get a lot of women's voice that I just feel like that it is Minnie as well. So those are the five that we have. But we've had other mediums too say that there's deaths there that you will not find on record.
Right. Well, and you know, I mean, a lot of people don't realize. You'd think, oh, well, come on. Obviously, you'd know. Not always. Sometimes they would remove the body and take it to the morgue or the mortuary and then pronounce them officially dead so that the house, you know, you don't know about deaths that actually took place there. Were there any tragedies that befell that area as well that would make you believe that other spirits would use your location as kind of a meeting point because there was so many other things that took place?
Well, you know, back in the day, it was the Wild West booming town, and we were also butted up against the Sioux Dakota Reservation line. Like, really, the edge of town was right on that line. So I'm sure there's a lot of things that have probably happened with that. And our deed goes back to 1889, owned by the Minneapolis-St. Louis Railroad.
When you are kind of going through the history and things are lining up, I mean, do you find that pretty exciting that it's like, holy cow, this is real. This isn't just some nut came in and said, hey, you've got a little girl ghost running around upstairs and there's no connection to it, but you actually uncover the people and the spirits and the stories that surround them.
Yeah, and that's really amazing, especially too as a paranormal investigator. That's what you want to do, is you want to get that confirmation. You know, we've had confirmation too where I've asked, you know, things like, hey, who is the guy who ran the newspaper? And it says Nibblelink. Well, Anthony Nibblelink was the guy who ran the newspaper. So when we get that on a spirit box, it's just really amazing to make that correlation.
Really, Jill, because I feel like if you're listening to a spirit box, Nibblelink is going to be a word you're going to hear all the time.
Yeah, it's a time it doesn't, I'm telling you.
That is weird. Very cool, though. When you are there alone, is there ever, and I only have about a minute left in the segment, but is there ever a time that you feel like, I need to talk to somebody or I need somebody to come be with me for a while?
No, not necessarily. We kind of have understanding that when I'm by myself, like unless I'm engaging and I want you to talk to me, then you can. But most of the time I don't like it when I'm by myself. It's a little spooky. Sure. There was a time when I was doing some renovations in the bathroom and I heard footsteps coming up the stairwell very clearly. And I was like, not today, guys, not today. And then it stopped after that. But yeah, it's, you know, when you're with other people and investigating as well, it's easier to do. But I'm a little more chicken when I'm by myself.
A hashtag poor Jill moment, as we always talk about on the Holzer Files, right? All right, we're going to take another break. We'll come back. And if you know about other locations throughout Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, even Illinois that you think should be noticed and talked about, email me, dave@paranormal60.com. That's dave@paranormal60.com. And let me know about it. We may feature them on an upcoming episode. Spooky specters, haunted houses. The Boyd House is right here in Minnesota. Jill Shelley is the owner of the Boyd House. Do you really consider yourself the owner, or are you just the curator until the next brave soul takes over?
I don't know. I feel like I do a lot of the maintenance, the maid, the whole nine yards. So, you know, one thing I, you know, didn't think about as being an investigator when I purchased it, you know, the upkeep and the maintenance and things like that. So I don't get to investigate as much as I'd like to. But usually when I am there, I do have a voice recorder running or something. You just never know when you're going to catch something.
Now, for voice recorders, we're recording, for those of you that don't know, what we call EVP, electronic voice phenomena, where maybe just one or two of us are in the room. We turn on the recorder, we ask a few questions, we play it back, and sometimes we capture these voices responding to the questions and queries that we put forth. Have you ever had DVP, direct voice phenomena, where you don't need a recorder, you can hear the spirit speaking out loud?
Yeah, I actually, a couple times, I've heard, you know, children giggling. We supposedly have a ghost cat. I've heard a cat meowing. I've audibly heard voices. I was upstairs sleeping. It was about 7 a.m. I woke up and my teammates were sleeping downstairs, and being that it's an old house, you know, they have those old floor grates in between. So you can definitely hear what's going on between the different floors. But I heard two women speaking, like couldn't make out exactly what they were saying, but I could hear two women speaking. And I was like, oh, the girls are up. So I'm going to get up, and I go downstairs and they're both sleeping. So there's just, you know, different times like that. So I've also heard a woman upstairs in the attic go, yoo-hoo.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, just to kind of get your attention. We actually caught that on audio as well. So those are, I think, the most pronounced ones that I've actually audibly heard. There was another time too, which was really oddly weird. So we know that Minnie really liked ferns because her great grandson lived in town. So I was able to talk with him and learn some stories that you would never find in books regarding the, you know, things that have happened. But we learned that Minnie really, really liked ferns. So we had got her a plastic fern, and we kind of have a shelf by the stairwell that's kind of dedicated to her. So we've put little statues and things that we have found at antique shops that we think she would like. I was dusting, and so I picked up that fern. And when I did that, I kind of heard like this electronic-y woman's voice, but I didn't quite make out what it said, but I audibly heard something. And at the same time, my teammate, she was in the kitchen doing something. So and this all happened in like split seconds. My thought was, oh my gosh, Teresa turned on a spirit box. But at the same time, she said, what did you say? And I said, I didn't say anything. And she said, well, I thought I heard the word leave it. And I said, well, I was picking up the fern because I was dusting. So, you know, obviously Minnie would did not want me touching her fern. So yeah, those are just a couple of the direct audios that we have heard at the location.
Jill, have you ever come back to the Boyd house in the morning after you have a night of investigators there and find it empty? All the investigators have left. It's like they skedaddled in the middle of the night instead of staying all the way through.
You know, we have some that make it through the whole night and others that don't. So it just depends. I mean, I've had, I would say two that have like emailed me and said, sorry, we got too scared. We left in the middle of the night. We weren't able to clean up. I apologize. You know, we just had too much going on. So just a couple, but I don't know the history of those groups, like if they're experienced, if they're not experienced.
They tell you what it was that spooked them enough to make them hightail it out of there?
One just said they just heard too many weird, creepy noises. they just couldn't stand it. And then one like felt like their hair was being touched. So they didn't like that. So they left and stuff. So those were the two that I do know about.
See, folks, when you ask me, Dave, aren't you afraid? Everybody has a different level of fear, right? Now, I would pay to find a haunted place where the ghosts will just stroke what little hair I have left. And, you know, I think that would be amazing. And then other people hearing things move around freaks them out. They need out. And then you've got people like me who, unless there's like a flaming head flying down the hall at me, I'm not going to really check out of the place because I want to have that experience. I want to have that moment. Has anybody ever told you that they've had a darker encounter?
You know, we've had a couple people in there, like I may have mentioned earlier, have that they may say they have had sort of a demonic type experience. Now, I'm not sure, again, was that an attachment that they brought with them? You know, we don't know that. I also have heard that one of my spirits likes to play jokes to pretend that they are, you know, demonic and from the other side just to get a rile out of somebody. But we do also have a lot of different things in the house that are supposedly haunted with spirit, you know, different dolls, different objects. We've actually had one that supposedly was demonic. It was a lady who donated a picture that they found on the side of the road, and then her husband became really, really obsessed with it and then ended up committing suicide in front of this painting. So she didn't want anything to do with it. And then when we were here running an Estes session, we said, what do you think? Because it had basically as a monkey, and it's the weirdest picture ever. But we're like, what do you think of the monkey picture? And it says, monkey, evil, get rid of it. So it, as far as that, that is probably the only thing we have more on the negative side that I feel is at the Boyd house. But for the most part, I feel like most of our entities are, they're friendly. They want to talk. They want to interact. They want to get to know you. But again,
do you ever reject items like that? I mean, when something comes in with that dark a history, do you ever think, yeah, maybe that's one I'm not going to bring in?
No, I don't know. I think it's all pretty cool. I mean, unless somebody maybe really said it was like, well, they've had like, you know, connections with the actual devil. I'm not sure if I'd take that. But yeah, I mean, it's all it's all in what you take out of it.
All right. You're a brave, brave woman taking on, you know, we just did an episode of the Paranormal Mysteries program on Beacon TV. And we did a two-part episode where we were at Ashmore Estates and then the R Theater. And the one thing that we did realize is that a lot of these spirits are fractals or pieces of those personalities that are still floating about in the ether. They may not be a fully realized version of a human, but more like the trauma or the happy moments that still are trapped there, that are kind of like, you know, a piece of you that fell off. And for people that have a hard time understanding that, have you ever walked into a room after somebody's had a fight and you didn't know they had a fight and you can feel that thickness in the air? It's that kind of sense that there's something that's left behind, that energy, whether it's an elation moment or something devastating and so sad. You know, finding those little bits and pieces, sometimes they can alter and change through the years as though the spirits or the slices of those beings are learning. And have you found that in your time there, that the same spirits seem to be catching up or learning in different ways to communicate?
Oh, most definitely. I find that they're, you know, I had to teach them kind of what things were. You know, you go to well-known haunted locations, they've seen a REM pod, they know what it is. You don't even have to really explain what it is. These spirits didn't know what anything was when I came in. So I had to explain kind of how everything worked and things. And I think now that as they're learning how to communicate, they're able to now bring forward and tell more of their stories or more things that they want to let people know. So I think it's a good thing for them to kind of get to know how to use all the equipment, how to interact with people. And I think they really enjoy it.
Well, Jill, when we come back, I'd like to ask you a little bit more about that. Do you ever think that maybe it's us manipulating the equipment? We are an energy force. We're putting out energy and hopes and dreams and desires to have something spooky happen. Do you ever think that what actually occurs has nothing to do with spirituality, but more with our own energy? We'll discuss that and more when we return to your home for the best in paranormal. This is the Paranormal 360. A vampire in Rhode Island?
A UFO crash in Connecticut?
A flying moose in Maine?
A haunted bridge that calls your name?
New England is weird.
Really weird.
Wicked Strange by Jeff Belanger and Frank Grace is your ticket to the bizarre. Ghosts, monsters, urban legends, and roadside oddities you won't believe until you see them.
So pre-order now on Amazon. It drops September 2nd.
Assuming the Black Dog of West Peak doesn't get you first.
Let's get strange.
Wicked Strange. Pre-order your copy now on Amazon.
Have you ever felt like something or someone was trying to tell you something? That inner nudge. That quiet whisper from the universe. With intuition sharpened by years of spiritual connection and a deep-rooted gift, Winnie Schrader delivers readings that are compassionate, insightful, and shockingly accurate. Whether you're facing a crossroads healing from heartache or just curious what the cards reveal Winnie creates a safe, sacred space to explore your journey. This isn't fortune cookie fluff. This is honest. Intuitive guidance from someone who's helped hundreds find clarity, closure, and confidence. If you've been waiting for a sign, this is it. Book your session now at lovelotustarot.com and take control of your journey. That's lovelotustarot.com. Winnie's sessions are personal, powerful, and often life-changing. That's lovelotustarot.com.
So you'd like to go out and see a haunted location. You'd like to maybe even spend the night in a haunted location. Well, the Boyd House may just answer all of your needs. You can check out BoydHouse217.com. That's Boyd, B-O-Y-D, House, H-O-U-S-E, then the numbers 217.com. BoydHouse217.com. There's a link for it on today's program guide. Our guest this evening is Jill Shelley, one of the owners of the Boyd House. Jill, before the break, I had asked you, how often do you think that what we're really experiencing is something paranormal? And how many times do you think maybe it's us influencing the equipment and the experience because of our want and desire to have a paranormal experience?
I think you have to kind of take in, when you're using any type of paranormal equipment, what are the outside influencing factors that could or could not make this particular device go off? So once you kind of rule that out, then you can just kind of decide it wasn't really something that I experienced, or, you know, that's kind of how I am, pretty scientific. Just want to make sure, like, say, okay, 2 meter goes off. I'm like, well, you know, and we don't keep our cell phones on. It's just, you know, different types of things. So I think a lot too is you would know more for your inner, like, how did you, if you could pick up on it, did you feel like something was there? Did you get the goosebumps? These are things that you can't deny. You know, things like using your own body as a tool, I think, is a really, really good investigative tool. So we're trying to get ourselves away more from, when we investigate, using a lot of the equipment, and just kind of sticking more with things that, you know, the voice recorder, you can't deny the EVPs. You know, I do like myself personally, I do like the spirit box, any different kind, just because I really love the science behind the spirit box on how it works, as far as, you know, the scanning of the stations from the 1/100th of a second, and you scientifically can't talk that fast. We personally use all our stuff on AM. We've gotten swear words, so you know definitely you're not going to get that on an AM station. We've gotten,
especially not here on WCCO, the Good Neighbor.
And, you know, and just, and things that are actually relevant to what we're actually doing. You know, like my, I guess my favorite example of the spirit box is, I went to a gentleman's house in Stillwater. He had a very well-known historical home that actually belonged to Captain Jenks, who was the riverboat captain in Stillwater, very well-known man. His family had all kinds of different activity experiences in the home. This particular gentleman, zero, nothing, no experiences. This man had so many. He gave me his card, like PhD, MD. He had like so many initials after his name. So very, very intelligent man, did not believe at all in spirits. But when I explained the science behind the spirit box session, and we did a session, and I said, whose house is this? And it said Captain Jenks. He about fell over, and I made him a complete believer out of the spirit box. So that is one particular tool that I 100% kind of believe in. Maybe not so much the yes, no's, but getting full sentences and actual conversations. And now with the use of the Estes session as well, that really has kind of put that a little bit more forward, you know, as far as getting some of the evidence as well. So one of my teammates is really, really good at getting Estes sessions.
Now, do you live in the Boyd house, or is it simply a location that you keep for people to come investigate?
No, I don't live there. I like to investigate the paranormal, not live with the paranormal.
What's the longest period of time an investigator has stayed in that house?
3 days, I believe. Yep, 3 days. I think I've done 2 days, but usually, like I said, I'm busy working, so I'm not actually actively asking them to do things versus an investigator who is there for 3 days and asking to get things. So, so 3 days, I think, is the most for somebody.
All right, very cool. We've only got a few minutes left here together. If people were on the fence about coming out to visit the Boyd house and have an experience, what would you like to tell people?
Well, I think it's just a really fun place. It's a good place to go for people who, like I said, are first-time investigators, having some equipment out there for them to try, a little bit of manual that also that tells them what it is, how it works. And again, I feel like everything we have there is friendly and likes to interact. So it's a good place to just kind of come. We're open 365 days a year. So we have heat, we have Wi-Fi, we have snacks. People like our snacks. And, you know, we have a TV, so it's pretty homey as well, but also has the creepy vibe because we have revamped it back to the 1920s. You know, we put all the old antique furniture, the wallpaper, the creepy haunted dolls and such. So it's got a good ambiance that goes with the house. So it's a real fun place for a beginner or, you know, a novice and an experienced person as well.
And nobody that comes there is going to have to worry that they're going to go home with some demon attached to their back, right?
I do not believe so, no.
It was a little wobbly, I'm going to be honest with you, Jill. But I look forward to it. I will come out there. Maybe I can bring along my friends Cindy and Shane, and we can investigate it and check it out. And I just thank you for coming on tonight, sharing a little insight with us about this amazing location. And thank you for keeping the spirits alive at the Boyd House.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It was my pleasure.
The Boyd House stands as a reminder that not every home leaves its history behind. Jill Shelley's experiences there blur the line between the living and the lingering, between curiosity and obsession. Whether it's residual energy echoing through time or spirits reaching out for acknowledgement, one thing is certain. The Boyd House refuses to be forgotten. Stay tuned. We're heading off to the haunted Palmer House next, right here on the Paranormal 360.